Perhaps I was blind to the facts, you know, stabbed in the back. I couldn't trust my own homies. They're just a bunch of dirty rats. Will I succeed? Paranoid from the weed and hocus pocus, try to focus, but I can't see. And in my mind, I'm a blind man doing time. Look to my future because my past is all behind me. Is it a crime to fight for what is mine? Everybody's dying. Tell me what's the use in trying. I've been trapped since birth, cautious because I'm cursed, and fantasies of my family in a hearse. And they say it's the white man I should fear, but it's my own kind doing the killing here. I can't lie. Ain't no love for the other side. Jealousy inside. Make them wish I died. Oh, my Lord. Tell me what I'm living for. Everybody's dropping, got me knocking on heaven's door. And all my memories of seeing brothers bleed, and everybody grieves, but still nobody sees. Recollect your thoughts, don't get caught up in the mix, because the media is full of dirty tricks. Only God can judge me. Should I keep going?
God, no. Just play the music.
Only God can judge me, that right? Only God, baby. Nobody else. Nobody else. You are the mother.
Hey everyone, welcome to season 10, week 3 of the Tension Podcast. We're a show that acknowledges most of life and faith is lived in the tension between the two extremes. Each week we look at what many of us were taught growing up in evangelical churches. We weigh it against what our current culture is saying, and we try to find what Jesus has for us in the tension between the two. If we haven't met, my name is Jonathan Corona, and we're joined as always by our co-host, Mr. Eric Williams. Eric, go ahead and say hey to the people.
Hey. Yeah. This is starting off.
If you're watching on YouTube, here's why we're laughing. On the podcast version of this, you just missed me terribly reading the lyrics to Only God Can Judge Me by Tupac.
Yeah.
And it took a couple takes because Eric would start laughing in the middle of it, which would make me start laughing in the middle of it. And I couldn't read it while laughing because it ruined the joke. Yeah. And so we're still trying to collect ourselves a little bit.
Yeah. Unironically reading the lyrics to Tupac is not... Yeah, I don't.
As a white guy from North Carolina in my late 30s.
Yep. Yeah. So it can only go up from here, I think.
Maybe. I see no changes.
Oh, stop.
All right, but here, what we're talking about today, actually. It took me a long time to figure out what to title this episode, but the working title was Tupac Was Wrong. And it's because what we're talking about today is this misconception in the American church. It's been influenced a lot by pop culture. And it's the idea that only God can judge me. No one else can judge me. There's like anyone who judges what I do is wrong because only God can judge me. And we'll get into where it came from. But before we do, we're going to start with what the two extremes are on these edges so that we can try to find where a legit tension is in the midst of this. So before we get there, this week is almost a part two of last week where we talked about the tension between speaking truth in love versus speaking truth in love. Right. So on one side of the tension, you have groups who feel like they have to call out every sin anyone does ever anywhere. To this group, it doesn't matter who is doing the actual sinning. Doesn't matter whether they're a Christian or not. Regardless, doesn't matter if they're in a relationship with them. It doesn't matter. If there's sin in the world, they feel the need to call it out and to judge it. On the other side, you have people who, like Tupac, say only God can judge someone, so they never speak up or speak out against anything that is outside of the way we're told to live as Christians. But we believe on this show, like most things, the truth actually lies somewhere in the middle of those two extremes. We're not called to judge those outside the church, but we are called to judge the actions of those inside the church. When we hold someone accountable to Jesus' standards, there is a judgment on action there only to people who are inside the church. And that comes straight from 1 Corinthians 5. When Paul writes, what business is it of mine to judge outsiders? Don't you judge those who are inside. God judges outsiders. So Tupac wasn't completely wrong. We are to judge the actions of those in the church, but only God can judge those outside the church. And today we're going to talk about how we live in the tension between those two extremes.
Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, it's going to be similar to last week, I think. You know, we don't have a ton of notes on this one, but going through is like, I think we use the truth and love scripture, or people tend to use a truth and love scripture to try and justify their viewpoint or justify, you know, their favorite piece of, I don't know, behavior modification. You know, it's I'm going to speak the truth in love because I don't like what you're doing and you need to know the truth. Or I'm going to whisper the truth in love because I don't want to confront you on what you're doing. And it's like, it comes back to what you prefer to do. And I think that that's when we're talking through the only God can judge me. In actual real life conversations, when I've heard that from people, it's usually said to justify actions
that they know are likely outside of what God has told us to do.
Sure. Yep. And it's like that, mom and dad aren't here and only mom and dad can tell me what to do. So since mom and dad aren't here, I'm going to go ahead and do what I want is like the vibe that gives off.
Or they take, was it Matthew 7? No. I don't remember the exact reference, but where it's written, judge not lest ye be judged. It's the KJV. Right. 'Cause that's what I learned when I was a kid. They take that and apply it in a way that, hey, don't judge. Right. God, Jesus told us not to judge each other. That's not the way, that's not the context of the verse. We're going to get into context stuff later in the season. Sure. But they take that idea out of context to say, you can't judge what I'm doing.
Yep.
You can't tell me I'm wrong for doing this. Only God can tell me I'm wrong. Only God can judge my action and tell me I'm wrong. Where in reality, if you claim to be a Christ follower, other Christians in love are actually called to hold you accountable and judge your actions to make sure you are in line. And we're going to get into this in a minute, but it's not a negative judgment. And I think that's where people get it wrong too. That's where you've got that side of behavior modification pointing everything out. They just want you to act right. In love part isn't there.
Right. And I think the other, it's also a misunderstanding of, in the same way as like speak the truth in love, that we don't really understand that nuance of the two and the idea of like there is a perfect way, which, you know, you'd say or believe that Jesus was the perfect embodiment of the truth in love. So we can't even understand what that perfect embodiment is. The same way as like, with judge, I think with contemporary language, we have different meanings of the word judge. And I would maybe even offer that it's different than what the intent is supposed to be. So, you know, if you're going through on the, especially in the Tupac lyrics or, you know, that mentality of all of the things that have had happened. Like if you look at that song is very indicative of how people say it. It's like, these things have gone wrong. This is what's happened to me. This is what, you know, my life is like, and your life is like, and the world. And then
this is how I responded. And I know it's not right.
Yeah. And then, oh, but only God can judge me. On one hand, is it saying, you know, when you say only God can judge me, is it God's judgment is the only standard and judgment I care about? Okay. Yeah. That could be true. Right. Only God is the ultimate authority of right and wrong. Okay, true. You know what I mean? Like, but what do you mean when you're saying judge? Only God can make me feel bad for what I'm doing, you know, or only God can hold me accountable for what I'm doing. In the end,
only God has the right to tell me I'm wrong.
There, yeah, even at that point, yeah. Who are you to judge, right? That sort of thing. Or only God has the standing, or the, you know, because God is perfect. So unless you're perfect, you can't judge me. So there's these ideas of like, and what does judge even mean? Pass judgment on someone else? Because can I witness the behavior of someone or something? And then in my mind, pass a judgment of saying, oh, well, I wouldn't choose that. Right. I wouldn't do that. That wouldn't be my preference. That's a judgment I'm making. In the same way as if I meet somebody in your first impression and I'm going, that doesn't seem like the type of person that I want to be hanging out with. That's a judgment I'm making, you know, those sorts of things. It's like, am I allowed to do that? Or is it only God can make judgments? That, and it's just impossible to say that that's actually true.
And if we do go into a word study into that, that where only God can judge me, the judge not lest you be judged idea, the word judge there can mean a few different things. It can be simply a decree or a judgment. It can be a condemnation of wrong, or it can be the sentence of a judge, the punishment with which one is sentenced. And I think this is a big portion of this, in that only God can give the punishment eternally.
Sure.
Yes. However, and here in just a second, we're going to talk about some of this when we talk about living in the tension. As fellow believers, we are to tell someone they are doing wrong, if they are doing wrong, if we are in community with them, if they are part of the body of Christ, if they are claiming to be a Christ follower, then we are called to tell them what is going on and to call out the sin. But there's a certain way we're supposed to do that. And so let's go ahead and jump into how we live in the tension, because I keep referencing it. I don't want to keep going in circles. Before we do that, though, we're going to give you the pitch to like us, rate us, review us, leave us a podcast review on Apple Podcasts if you listen there. All those good things, likes, reviews. Yeah. Yay, that. Okay. Moving into, I get tired of saying that every single week, but we have to say it because sometimes it works. I think there are four ways we live in this tension between the only God can judge me and the people who judge every single thing. And I think going back to the judge not lest ye be judged idea, before you judge someone else, you better be okay being judged yourself. I mean, it says it. Don't judge unless you're willing to be judged yourself. If you look at that entire passage in Matthew 7, Jesus warns about pointing out the speck in someone else's eye when we have a dang log in your own. Because in that sense, you're a hypocrite. And some of Jesus's harshest words in the entire New Testament were against hypocrites. And I think that's where so many of us get this wrong, is, and make people want to say only God can judge me, because they're getting judged by people who they know are doing just as bad or doing things that are equally sinful as they are. Yet they're self-righteously saying, hey, what you're doing is wrong, while justifying and turning a blind eye to the things they're doing themselves.
Yeah, it's that same measurement idea. It's like, are we going to agree to have the same standard of measurement to figure out what is a judge-worthy offense? You know, and I've asked that question in conflict before. You know, it's like, if someone is going to pass a judgment or say something, it's like, okay, is this the operating procedure that you want to go by? Are we going to say that name calling is okay? Right. Oh, well, no, I don't want anybody to call me names. Okay, then you shouldn't also be doing that. Right. Let's agree. What is the measurement? What is our standard operating agreement? What are our agreement principles when we come to this? Is it okay to pass judgment on clothing choices of one another? Is it? Because if it is, then that means your clothing choices are fair game. Is it okay to pass judgment on body shape, body style, body composition, physical attributes of someone else? Because if that's okay for you to judge that way, then it's okay. You should be able to take it back. It's the old, like, dish it out but can't take it thing. And I think where the tension happens on the bad side is the same as the speaking truth in love, is like, well, I'm only going to focus on these things because this is what's important. It would be as if I was, it would be as ludicrous as if I was to say, we are going to judge people by the color of their skin, and the whiter the color, the better.
It's like, did you mean to say ludicrous?
Ludicrous.
Was that intentional?
Yeah. Well, I just spent some time in Universal, so we went on the Fast and Furious ride. Got a chance to hang out with my man Luda a little bit.
Okay.
But the ride going. Actually broke down.
Couldn't pay attention, wondering if you purposely did that or not. So I had to
interrupt. No, I didn't. Go ahead. On purpose. Our ride broke down in the middle, so the car wasn't actually moving at all. So if you've ever been on the Fast Furious ride, It was neither Fast nor Furious. So complete false advertising. Anyway, back to it, though. It's like, could you imagine if you're like, hey, everyone, we're going to agree that we're going to judge people's character based on their skin type and the lighter skin. Lighter skins are better and darker skins are not good. Or the opposite. Darker skins mean more righteous and holy, and lighter skins are, you wouldn't agree to that. But throughout history, we have agreed to that because that's what we, that's what certain people have said. Oh, I have this, so we're going to judge it based on my standard. It's going to be, the curve is going to be judged based on me. And it's like, or men are in charge as opposed to women. Whatever men say goes as opposed to women. Men's ideas go, or men's, the judgment of a man to bear witness in court is taken more seriously than a woman. That's like, we know how badly that gets misconstrued. And I think that that's where some of this tension in either speaking the truth in love or the judge not, it's like, who gets to be the decider of where the judgment is and what, you know, what the scale is or the curve that we're judging based on. And even to the point where we go, well, only God can judge me. So that means we're agreeing that God is the standard. But whose vision of that? Whose version of that? Why are we picking God's standard of judgment when it comes to the sanctity of life for a pre-born human being as opposed to a convicted criminal? I don't know. Why are we judging God's sanctity of life when it comes to a child or an infant as opposed to someone who arbitrarily was not born in the same country as you are and now is trying to relocate into this country? Right? Like, it's like there's these different things where we are going to pick and choose the measure by which we consider the judgment valid, even if it is what our perception is of God's judgment.
And I think the reason I love that you brought that up is because so much of that is wrapped in a version of self-righteousness that says my preferred thing is the most righteous. So I'm going to judge the thing that is different than my preference. And so that we're on the same page. Definition of self-righteous: having or characterized by a certainty, especially an unfounded one, that one is totally correct or morally superior. And so many times when we are judging people or judging actions within the church, even if we are judging, air quote, judging fellow believers, so much of it is wrapped in self-righteousness. When I was trying to prep for today, I came across an article on Desiring God written by a guy named John Bloom. And he wrote, quote, "It's not wrong to lovingly help our brother remove a harmful speck from his eye. It's wrong to self-righteously point out a speck in our brother's eye when we ignore, as no big deal, the ridiculous log protruding from our own." So it's no big deal for us to lovingly say, hey, Eric, that thing you did last week, I don't know that you meant to do it this way, but that isn't what God wants us to do. That's not the way that I believe we're supposed to act. And we have a conversation based around that. What is wrong is when I'm going out and doing the same thing in a different way and justifying it, and then going to Eric and saying, hey, Eric, what you did was wrong. And then Eric can go, but you did this. And I'm like, no, that's okay. That's okay. And so when you get back to what you were just saying about the tensions in our culture around so many of these social and political issues, there's a self-righteousness to saying that anyone who is pro-choice is a baby killer, and that the pro-life, that they judge pro-choice because they're that person's quote unquote all for killing babies, while at the same time you're advocating for the death penalty and for harsh working environments or things that also end up killing people who you don't like, immigrants or minorities or low income or whatever it might be. When you're doing both of those, that's that hypocritical speck and plank type of thing that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7, where you can't do one. You cannot make a judgment on this end if you are doing the exact same thing over here and justifying it in a different way.
Yeah. And I mean, to a lighter example, I guess this actually happened, you know, you and I were talking about, my family, we just went to, Universal, and you know, you were talking about going to Disney, and I remember, like, we're walking around Universal Studios, and I like Harry Potter, right? But I don't like it enough to buy a $150 robe and all of the getup and the gear and a $70 wand and, like, walk around cosplaying Harry Potter in a black robe in the middle of Orlando, Florida, in 80 degree heat and sweat. Like, I don't like it that much. And I found myself, like, I was having this moment looking through it and going, huh, you know, and thinking about Disney adults and all that. Like, I like Disney, but I don't like it enough to, what do they call it? The Disney bounding or character, whatever, like, where you're going to, like, pick out your outfit and wear all this stuff. I like my family, but I don't like them enough to do the, like, dad of all things and then thing one and then thing two, or, you know, all the different colored the shirts and stuff. I don't like that enough. But you know what? In fact, I could do it here. Went to a baseball game the day before, and I was wearing a t-shirt for my favorite team and a hat. I like that enough. I'll dress up like that, right? So it's like, is there a bit of fanaticism that you have over something that you like that's okay? Why is it okay to be like, yeah, as a sports fan, I can be enmeshed in the world of my favorite teams and my favorite sports and talk to you about it and everything else like that. But I would look down, or, you know, could conceptually look down upon somebody talking about the lore and background and fan fiction of their favorite, you know, IP, right? And talking about those sorts of things. It's like, it's the same thing. You have a fanaticism or a like for something that is fake, that it does not matter to real life. I'm sorry for all of you mega sports fans. I like sports. Sports does not matter to real life. Okay. Sorry about that. It does not. If it were to go away, something else would fill it in. But, like, I had that moment too, where I'm looking and I'm going, I am judging someone else's decision, but I'm ignoring the fact that I'm doing the exact same thing. It just looks different, you know? And so same thing with whatever sin you want to talk about, or whatever area, like you said, sanctity of life, when it comes to an unborn human fetus, and now even embryos in the state of Colorado, Alabama, right? It's like, that extends out, but a convicted killer on death row, don't care about that person's life. Or, you know, someone on a welfare queen, don't care about that person's life.
Well, here, I'll give a local example.
Yeah.
In part of North Carolina, back in the fall, there is a large farm in the area that is run by the family of a North Carolina member of the Senate, the state Senate.
Yep.
And in the fall, one of the migrant workers who came in the country legally to work on the farm, he died as a healthy 30-year-old on that farm because of inhumane working conditions.
Yep.
And that farm was fined one of the biggest fines in North Carolina labor history. And the woman who is the state senator whose family owns the farm is an outspoken right to life, pro-life advocate. Yet her farm had a policy that he was only allowed to have one 5-minute water break within 6 hours working in the heat of North Carolina in the late summer.
Oh my God.
So there's a hypocritical judgment there. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping our listeners are smart enough to see that when you're advocating for one and judging there, but not applying that the same way, that's that hypocritical nature. And if we are going to be outspoken on an issue, take the issue, maybe it's interpersonal issue, maybe it's a political issue, whatever the issue category is, we have to make sure we are being intellectually consistent with our judgments so as not to become a hypocrite.
Speaking my language, man, I 100% logically consistent, you know, all of that. Being
because if you're not logically consistent or intellectually consistent,
yep,
it leads to self-righteousness.
Logically consistent. Yeah. All of that, man. That's where the hypocrisy lies. And I would even say, to your point of, Like, yes, God can only judge, but if you're doing something messed up with your, or will I use my example? I'm doing something messed up with my life. You, as someone who cares about me, as someone who would speak the truth in love, there's a loving way to go. Even, you know, like maybe you and I would differ on this, where I wouldn't necessarily say, hey, Jonathan, I don't think that, or Jonathan, that's not God's plan for how you should live your life, or that's not God's, you know, what God would do in this. More so is like,
yeah, I would never use that sentence in an actual conversation.
But like having a sense of like, hey, here's what I'm seeing. This is what I see when I'm talking about the way God has planned for us to live, or you know, the ideal plan for us, or the way things are supposed to be, quote unquote. Like, man, I'd love to talk to you about it, but I just want to raise that mirror up and say the path that you're going down might not be the best. How can I help? You know what I mean? Like that level of judgment, I've decided that I've judged what I'm seeing from you or what you're seeing from mm-hmm. me as not being healthy in the long run, or that will lead to something that is not going to be good and you are going to intervene. I think that level of judgment is like, that is a loving level of judgment that we should.
Well, so you're hitting on the second and third points that I wanted to get to here.
Well, get to them.
It's almost like you read the notes, but I don't think you did. We are called to hold fellow believers who we are in community with to Jesus's standard. Lovingly, out of respect for the person and out of worship of Jesus, we are to do that. And that can feel a lot like judging. But when done right, it is to build you up. When done outside of a relationship without tact and grace, it can feel judgmental in a negative way. But I think all of us can point to a moment in our lives where someone who loved us, who was in a relationship with us, came to us graciously and out of love and said, hey, I don't think you're going down the right path here. Hey, I noticed this thing that you're doing, and I don't know if it's the healthiest choice for you. Hey, I see this, and I'd love to have a conversation about that. When it's done with love and grace, it builds us up. And there are all sorts of verses throughout the New Testament that say, when we are to quote unquote judge, I'm using that as an overarching term here for those of you who want to get into Theobro world. When we do that, the goal is restoration, forgiveness, and healing. It is not condemnation. And I think where we get it out of whack is when we do it self-righteously, we judge in a condemning way. When we judge as Christians, as we are taught from the Bible, we are judging in a way to build someone up. And the only way to do that is when you wrap and soak your judgment in grace, in love, and in understanding. You can't speak the truth in love in this type of judgment, because it's going to come across as you being a jackwagon. I wanted to say other words, but we don't want the explicit label here. That's a new one, Eric. Jackwagon. That you come across as a jackwagon, and you don't come across as someone who actually cares about the well-being of the person who is doing the thing you disagree with.
I totally, and that's the measure is like, what do you want out of this interaction? Speak the truth in love, judge, whatever. What's your ultimate goal in this interaction? Cause I love how you put it. It's like, is what you're saying intended to build the other person up? Is it intended to restore them back to God? Is it intended for forgiveness? Is it intended for like their best interest? Not just using that as an excuse for it, because it's very easy to go like, well, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for your benefits. Like, are you really, or are you doing it because you want to be right? Are you doing it because you are uncomfortable watching someone else do something that you don't like? You know, I can't tell you how many, which they probably don't listen to this, so it doesn't really matter, but, older relatives mine or my wife's that are like, make comments on Facebook anytime they see someone posting about their tattoos or whatever. It's like, you know, are you passing judgment against that because that's not something that you like or that you would do? You know, is stop. Like, or are you trying to pass judgment to build up someone else, right? It's like, you shouldn't get visible tattoos because nobody's going to want to see that in your wedding dress. What? No, you mean you aren't going to want to, right? That's you. That's how you feel. You know, in the same way, you know, don't want to go into a political rant. I mean, I do want to, but I won't. It's like, you know, you can't vote. You can't vote for this particular party because they're the party of whatever. It's like
the devil.
They're the devil. That's right. They're the devil, or they're all fascists, or they're all Nazis, or that, you know, go back and they're communists, they're socialists, they're Marxists. It's like, sorry, by the accent, I think you kind of know what I would be leaning towards, but I tried to throw in the other words to throw you off a little bit, right? So it, like that, it's your own mindset and your own agenda, not the agenda of helping build others up. And I think you and I have talked about this before, where it's like a lot of faith to me relates back to the parenting relationship. So can I cast judgment over my children? Yes, as a parent, I can. How I decide to cast judgment over my children is going to determine whether or not, like you said, they are going to be built up, whether they are going to be restored back to a relationship with me as their father, and whether or not like their best interest is in mind. And we've talked about it too, where it's like if my son does something wrong, but the natural consequences of whatever he did wrong are already consequence enough. I'm not going to add another punishment on top of that because I want some sort of punitive damages. I've seen that the correction already happened. He already experienced some sort of pain that said, I don't want to do that again. Or he went through, you know, a contrition moment where it was like, oh man, I screwed up. I want to tell you the truth. You know, and I don't like, great. Because I want to restore a relationship with him and I want him to build into the right character going forward. I don't need to punish him just to punish him. And I think a lot of us say the judgmental thing or do the judgmental thing or cast judgment and they're pointing out the speck in the other person and go, haha, you're stupid. You have a speck in your eye, as opposed to, hey, Jonathan, that speck is probably painful. If it is, I would love to help get that out for you. And if you're like, nope, actually don't have a problem with it. Okay, cool. Maybe you like specs. Maybe that's a new thing. Maybe it's a new kind of piercing. It's the ocular piercing. You go right through the old eyeball with a wooden speck. Great. Okay. At that point, who am I to judge? I have done my goal. And if I want to restore or build up or help you see better and you don't want to, at that point, at some point, it's like, my job is done. I don't need to continue judging, quote unquote.
I've seen a real world example of this play out over the last few months, and it's not finished yet. So I'm intrigued to see where it goes. Liberty brought a new president in last summer to replace the old one. And while I won't call myself a Liberty supporter right now because of all the mess that's gone on, I have seen things from him that intrigue me. And one of the things that he is working on that's supposed to roll out this summer is they are completely revamping what's called the Liberty Way, which is basically the honor code at Liberty. And they have said that they are changing it from punitive damages, where if you did something wrong, you would accumulate points and be fined or have to do community service based on whatever you did. So, for example, roommate in college was caught drinking alcohol at a Super Bowl party off campus, and he lied about it. And his punishment was like a $300 fine and 30 hours of community service because he drank a beer as a 22-year-old and then told people he didn't because he didn't want to get in trouble. And so that's that punitive type of judgment of, you're doing something I don't think is right, so I'm going to harm you because of that. They are now systematically changing to a restoration and a restorative grace-based punishment system, and with a stated goal of, we want our students to live like Christ. And so anything that we do in the Liberty Way will have to be, any punishment will have to be restorative. And the only way we get into any type of punitive damages like that is if someone has repeatedly refused the restoration process. And I don't know what that's going to look like in practice, but as someone who has spent the last few years trying to figure out what does this look like to actually live in community with other believers and hold them accountable while representing the love, the grace of Jesus so that I can build others up. I see what they're doing and I'm like, oh, this is intriguing. I want to see how this goes because it shows that institutionally they realized what they were doing was wrong. And what has been interesting and what I'm intrigued to see in a different way is how do the old fundamentalist alumni respond to the changes versus how do other non-fundamentalist alumni and students respond to it? Because it's going to be really interesting, because on that extreme, that fundamentalist extreme, it is very punitive. It's very, if you're not doing the right thing, you deserve to be punished. And it, you're punished into following Jesus correctly. The behavior modification, do it right or you're not following Jesus correctly. He doesn't love you as much. You're not going to get to heaven as quickly. Whereas we are called to judge in a way that builds others up and restores them back to Jesus and restores them back to healthy community with other followers. So that's just a real world example of a change of an organization and an institution who's trying to live in this tension, who is admitting that for 40 something years, they got it wrong. And they're now trying to make a change. So I talk a lot of crap about Liberty on here because I'm not very high on it right now as an institution, but that's something I saw that is really intriguing to me. I've said the word intriguing like 17 times the last minute and a half, but that's the only way I know to describe it, because I'm always interested when people realize they have gone too far one way in a tension to see how they overcorrect. Because this whole show is about how we tend to overcorrect too far, and the truth is in the tension somewhere. So I want to see how they respond and what they do so that they can try to hold fellow believers who are in community with the Jesus standard in a way that is restorative and does not condemn the student.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's easy for us to look at, again, cause I'm on the outside of the Liberty thing. But it's easy for me to look at Liberty and go like, they're messed up. They've been messed up, and in a lot of ways, I think you'd even admit, yeah, there's a lot of things that objectively are messed up about it. But like, we started watching that documentary on Netflix, Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey, about the Warren Jeffs and the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And it's like, that's all about polygamy and abuse. And really bad stuff that I don't want to give a bunch of trigger warnings for, but you look at that and you go, that's messed up. But then when you see how people are going through that in the same way as what you were talking about before, like these women who are being forced into these relationships are going, I believe that was the only way to get into heaven. I believe that was the only way to be reunited with my family in the afterlife. I believe that was the only way to do. It's like this manipulation happens with this judgment level. And that's how it's taken to the extreme. But these are, by all means, like, these are normal people that are sucked into this life because of a hypocritical and, obviously abusive balance of power in what truth is and what love is and what judgment is, that leads to something that, 99% of people watching this would look at it and go, that's crazy. That is crazy. But then we ignore the thing that maybe isn't on the same level as like child bride and polygamy and, all that kind of abuse. But we ignore that same system that we've established in our own life where it's like, what am I fundamentally judgmental, hypocritically about that I would judge someone else about? And, going back to the light thing of like the person wearing the $159, black Harry Potter robe in the middle of the Florida Everglades and going, that's stupid. It's like, oh shoot. In the same way as I used to go tailgate at Cincinnati Bengals games and wear the replica jersey and paint my face and consume various amounts of alcohol, that's stupid too to other people. So it's like, I think the job that I have is in that spec plank dynamic, is to go, where am I ignoring that plank and be ruthless about rooting that out? And then how am I, where and how, where am I ignoring the plank in my own life? And how am I addressing the spec in the other person? Is it actually something that's bothering them? If I was like, Jonathan, you got a speck in your eye. It's like, no, those are actually all of my eyelashes. those are contact lenses. Oh, all right. Sorry. You know, that I need to be able to make room for it. Jonathan, I think that might be something that's impairing your vision. And you go, no, these are actually contacts that are helping my vision. Okay. I stand corrected. I can step back. I don't need to keep going down that truth / judgment route. I brought it up. I'm going to walk alongside you. Ultimately, I want our relationship to be great. I want to restore your relationship with whomever, whatever, with God. And I want this to be mutually beneficial. It's like, those are some litmus tests for how are you, quote unquote, judging others? You know, because I think you would say it's true. You, I'm assuming this, but you want the best for Liberty University.
Mm-hmm.
You want the I don't even know, all of the people enrolled there, all the people teaching there, you want them to have the best quality education experience. You want them to thrive. So it's like when you're going, I'm going to be interested in judging their response. I'm getting from you that it's not some sort of punitive piece, or that it's like, well, gosh, I just wish they would like get rid of all this kind of stuff. That way I could wear my flames, right? My Liberty Flames mm-hmm. stuff with pride. It's like, no, I think you genuinely have a heart for those people. It's like, no, I want them to have a great experience. I don't want to see abuse happen anymore.
Correct. I want to see legitimate champions for Christ be created, not champions for the Republican Party or champions for all sorts of other things that have been going on up there. That's a different conversation. So yeah, my hope for them is that they will get back to Jesus and living for him and training others to live for him as well, because I know the impact they could make. Last thing before we get out of here, because we are running out of time, but this is one of the more important ones, but we're going to gloss over it because I think the people listening to this understand this, but I want to hit on it as well. The one place where Tupac got it right on the only God can judge me idea is that we should not be holding those outside the church to the same standards as those inside the church. And this is where we so often get it wrong. We say that people are sinning or people are living in sin, or that's wrong. They shouldn't be allowed to do that because it's sin, when people don't have the same stated religious standards as we do. They have not said, I am a follower of Jesus. I'm like trying to become more like him. I submit to his authority. If they haven't said that, while we may think what they're doing is wrong and sinful, they don't. They see absolutely nothing wrong with dropping four-letter words in the middle of Walmart. They see nothing wrong with drinking a little too much alcohol on the weekend at home. They see nothing wrong with insert sinful act here. And if we do not have a relationship with that person, and if they are not claiming to be a follower of Christ, we have no right to enact judgment on them. And that comes straight from Scripture. Paul says that is God's role to judge those outside the church. It's our role to judge those inside the church. So we leave those outside the church to God, to the Holy Spirit. It's their job to convict, or convict can be taken a couple different ways here, but to bring them to Jesus, to show them the error of their ways. It's not our job to do that. And I don't think we're going to win very many people for Jesus by telling them how sinful and wrong they are. It is Christ's love that draws us to him. It is Christ's love that causes us to want to change. It is not some guy with a megaphone saying God hates F word, pejorative word there on the side of a street corner, trying to tell people that they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. That doesn't bring people to Jesus.
Right. Or convince them to change anything.
Yeah. They double down and they're more apt to continue doing it because they're doing it out of spite now, because that hateful Christian over there said they shouldn't do it. So now I want to do it even more.
It's the office quote. It's like, promise me you'll be on your best behavior. Well, I promised someone else I'd be on my worst behavior. It's like, no. And the other thing is just like, they don't like football, man. I don't know, right? Like, they don't like the Braves. It's okay. they don't like the Chiefs. It's okay. Great. You know, don't force them to become a football fan when they don't like football. Same sort of thing. It's like, oh, what? You don't like this or that or type of food. Doesn't matter. All of these things are preferential for you because you have a different, you are looking at a certain group of standards that you're looking through. And so, and I would say even the things that you think the Bible is settled on, still examine that and go, how can the Bible be settled on the treating of name this oppressed group or this sin that you think, but then also we need context for something else here that someone else would go, nope, the Bible is clear and settled on this. It's like, leave room to believe that you may not be 100% right, which is, I think, the overwhelming piece.
One of my favorite quotes from Ted Lasso came from Rebecca Welton's mom when she asked Rebecca, would you rather be loving or would you rather be right? And that is a question that, as someone who is argumentative by nature, who is fairly intelligent and likes to be right, that has changed the way I approach so many of these things. Would I rather be loving towards someone and let my love for them and my love for Jesus point them to Jesus himself? Would I rather do that, or would I rather be right from a theological perspective?
Right. Yep. And that's the bottom line about to speak the truth in love, is like acknowledging you could be right from a theological perspective, but the way you approach it is still wrong. And you need both sides. And for those of us that are more intellectual in nature, I'm not saying I'm part of that group, but I've been known to identify there, is like, we say, no, I have the right answer here. Yeah, but you've delivered it the wrong way. Ah, but that doesn't matter as much, right? As opposed to someone that may not have the same intellectual leaning, but they've delivered things in love, but they haven't delivered the right things in love. They haven't delivered the truth in love, you know? And I think leaving room for both to be able to say, I may not be right on this. And even if I am right on this, I may not be approaching it the right way, and at least leave room for that discussion. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to think through, what do I want? Examine my motives. What do I want at the end of this conversation? Do I want to walk away from this conversation knowing that I said and did the right thing, that I was right? Or do I want to have a better relationship with this person? Do I want to see them succeed and thrive?
Do I want to show them Jesus through my actions?
Right.
So that when we are done with this conversation, they have a better view of him than they did before we started.
Yep.
And how we approach that is going to determine what their view of Jesus is when we are done. That's it for this week. We're out of time. I know we didn't hit this topic fully, and there are pieces that we missed between last week and this week. If you want to talk more about this, feel free to reach out to us on social or send us an email to continue that conversation, to ask questions, to go deeper. Eric is at EricW712 on all the major platforms. I am at Jonathan_Corona on them as well. You can email us questions or comments to hello@tensionpodcast.com. Next week, we're going to continue this conversation and turn it a little bit when we talk about the hardest part about loving our neighbor. And it's something we don't talk about very often in the American church, but I feel like it's the key to unlock so much of what we've been talking about the past two episodes. If you like the show, do us a favor and rate us and review us wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app if you haven't already. Share this episode with a friend if you found it interesting. As always, thanks for making us part of your day, and we will talk to you again next week. Perhaps I was blind to the facts. Stabbed in the back, I couldn't trust my own homies. Just a bunch of dirty facts. Will I succeed? Paranoid from the weed and hocus pocus, try to focus, but I can't see. And in my mind, I'm a blind man doing time. Look to my future, cause my past is all behind me. Is it a crime to fight for what is mine? Everybody's done. Tell me what's the use in trying. I've been trapped since birth. Cautious, cause I'm cursed. And fantasies of my family in the hearse. And they say it's the white man I should fear, but it's my own kind doing all the killing here. I can't lie, ain't no love for the other side. Jealousy inside, make them wish I died. Oh my lord, tell me what I'm living for. Everybody's dropping, got me knocking on heaven's door. And all my memories of seeing brothers bleed, and everybody grieves, but still nobody sees. Recollect your thoughts, don't
cause